Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the remainder of this year while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return December 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I am happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. We are more than conquerors in all things through Jesus. Amen. Merry Christmas, Kansas City. On December 25th, Christians all over the world will be celebrating the birth of our Savior and Lord, Jesus the Christ. And this Christmas, like all Christmases, will be a time of joy, love, and peace. However, I have an important question that every Christian should be able to answer, and that is, what is the true reason we celebrate Christmas? I'm asking this question because Satan is trying to invalidate Jesus' birth, work, and ultimately our redemption in him. How is Satan doing this? By removing the word Christmas and its meaning from all that pertains to this season. And why is Satan doing this? To keep people from believing and ultimately receiving the gift of salvation, which is the very reason Jesus was born. Here are some important facts about the birth of Christ. Jesus' birth is confirmed not only by the Holy Bible, but also by secular, historical, and other ancient writings. Jesus, the Son of Man, was born. He lived 30 plus years on this earth, and he died on Calvary. These truths are indisputable. In the Gospels, Jesus' birth and genealogy is documented. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 23, wise men, not necessarily three men, came from the east and worshiped the child Jesus in a house, not a manger. In Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, Jesus was born through a virgin to complete the plan that Adam was given and failed. If a man, Joseph, had been his biological father, Jesus would have been born with a sin nature too. And Jesus would have needed a Savior just like the rest of mankind. I have heard arguments about the exact date that Jesus was born. Today we celebrate Jesus' birth on the 25th of December. However, more than likely Jesus was not born during the month of December. But does the actual month or day really matter? How many of you have a conscious knowledge of the actual day you were born? No. You base your birth date on what someone has told you, or you have a document written by some man that lists the date. And both of these sources could be wrong. However, what is important is that you were born and alive today. Well, the same with Jesus. He was born, whether in December or not, is of no consequence. Jesus was born, lived to fulfill all the prophecies, died, and ultimately resurrected to sit at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf as Savior and Lord. Here are the true reasons for Jesus' birth. In the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, this verse tells us that Jesus came to redeem mankind. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 8 through 19, it tells us as a result of Jesus' completed work, we are declared righteous in him. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible tells us that we are the righteousness of God. We have victory over Satan, his demonic angels, and evil assignments. Family, this is something to shout for joy about, not just on Christmas Day, but throughout the year. Have a safe and Merry Christmas on behalf of Pastor John, the congregation of Kansas City Christian Faith Center, and me. We love you all. Now let's continue with my teaching titled, The Fruit of the Born Again Spirit. This teaching is an in-depth study of the book of Galatians, chapter 5. The Holy Spirit gave me this teaching in response to all of the negative and abusive rhetoric and confrontations we experience and hear about daily. People in general are operating by their ungodly thoughts and emotions and lashing out at others for no apparent reason. Satan has persuaded these individuals to act out their aggression on the innocent and those weaker than themselves. Rarely do we hear reported on the news about individuals who have demonstrated acts of kindness or compassion on behalf of others. Listener, you may be in a hurting situation and feeling isolated, but unfortunately, you are not alone. There are hurting people all over the world, in our communities and families, because of living under the influence of the lies of Satan. Christians have the answer, and the truth is found in Jesus. We are the light of the world, and we of all people should be able to demonstrate the perfect love of God to others. Satan and his evil assignments cannot prevail when God's people live according to the Holy Bible. In Jesus, we got the victory over all of Satan's lies and attacks. However, it is the responsibility of each Christian to grow in the attributes and character of our Savior if we want to enjoy peace of mind and prosperity, spirit, soul, and body. If you are interested in being a godly example of Jesus Christ and growing in faith, growing in love, growing in joy, growing in peace, growing in patience, growing in kindness, growing in goodness, growing in faithfulness, growing in gentleness, and growing in self-control, please join me every Wednesday morning to study the fruit of the born-again spirit. I began this teaching on August 25th, 2021. So if you were not with us from the beginning of this teaching, or you would like to re-listen to the previous programs aired, please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. For this study, I will be quoting from the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible unless otherwise stated. Now, I want to continue where I left off last week. We were examining the fruit of the born-again spirit of man as listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, when I ran out of time. Let's examine the eighth fruit of our born-again spirit, which is gentleness. I will read my definition from the New Webster's Dictionary and remind you where we should look to for our answers to life. Keep in mind that fruit requires growth and development. The fruit of our born-again spirit must be nurtured with God's word and given time to develop by using that particular fruit in our everyday living. The more we use love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the greater that attribute or character of God will grow in us. And we know from God's word that these attributes bring life more abundantly and not death. As a reminder, these fruits are deposited into our spirit at the time of salvation in Jesus. As Christians, our life's guidebook is the Holy Bible. Therefore, to define what is right or wrong on any topic, the act must be in accordance with God's word, not what society says is right or wrong. Because we know that Satan is running this corrupt world system, and he has deceived the world to be his tools of destruction. Therefore, Christians must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and not this corrupt world system. I will be reading from the NIV Bible for the following passages. Gentleness. Gentleness means of good family, noble, excellent, nice, graceful, pretty, kindly, amiable, especially in disposition or manner, mild, or moderate, not severe, violent, or loud. Gentleness is mildness combined with tenderness. I want you to hear that one more time. Gentleness is mildness combined with tenderness. For our scripture readings, let's go directly to the New Testament, starting with the book of Galatians. Please turn to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted." Verse 2, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Family, I want to highlight two very important phrases within this passage. First, in verse number 1, it says, "who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently." When we see fellow Christians who have fallen to the side because they've gotten back into that sin that they were once involved in, that's not the time to gossip, to criticize, and to cause turmoil for that individual. No, that's the time to encourage, to help restore that individual to walk according to God's word. So that means that you are going to share with them about the love of forgiveness and how to ask for forgiveness of the Lord and move forward in Jesus with love and compassion. Then in verse number 2, it tells us, "Carry each other's burdens." Remember, family, all of us were sinners saved by grace, and we all have a sinful history. So this is not the time to tell others about their ugly life or issues. This is the time to lift up people with love and compassion, gently encourage them to come to Christ, ask for forgiveness, and move forward. Amen. All right, let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 1 through 3. Again, Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." My goodness, these are great marching orders for every Christian, because all of us may have a time where we will need someone to encourage us with love and compassion, to gently draw us back into the body of Christ, to remind us of who we are and that that sin is no longer part of our life. But we have to make a choice. So do it with a gentle word. Verse number 2 again. I want to read that one more time for emphasis. It says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. If we could keep that in our hearts and minds and operate in that fashion, this body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, would draw the multitudes to him. And then in verse number 3, I want to read that last part. In fact, I'll just read the whole verse. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So we show who we are in Christ by operating in love, in gentleness, by being patient, and we bring into unity the body of Christ in peace. Amen. All right, let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 12 and 13. Again, Colossians 3, 12 and 13 say, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I think this particular two verses sum up the whole study on gentleness. Because when we think back about who we were without Jesus and how far we've come in Christ, we can afford to be patient. We can afford to be gentle. We can afford to forgive, because that's exactly what our living God and our Savior Jesus Christ did for us. Again, verse number 12, it says, as God's chosen people, we've been chosen because we've accepted the gift of salvation. We are holy and dearly loved. Clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Notice it says, clothe ourselves. We are the only ones that can operate in these virtues. The virtue has already been deposited in us, but we have a free will, and we must choose to operate with this fruit of the born-again spirit. Again, with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, and patience. And then in verse 13, I want to read the last part of the verse. It says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, I've done a study on forgiveness, and I've said this on other occasions as well. But, you know, I'm not saying that that betrayal, that lie against you, was the truth. It does hurt when a loved one, someone that you are close to, betrays you. But if we learn how to forgive in Christ, then we are assured that God will forgive our sins. And he has. He's cleansed us. And just like he forgave us, we have to learn to forgive others. I'm not talking about being a doormat. I'm talking about releasing that hurt and pain, not allowing yourself to be worked up, to get vengeance, to speak unkindly about others, but just to release the hurt, the pain, and forgive them. Move forward in Christ. They're not God, so they can't bring nothing against you that will stick if you are doing the Word of God every day, operating with love, gentleness, and patience. All right, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read verses 2 and 3. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 2 and 3 says, now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. Now, in general, this passage is directed to those in ministry, but being in ministry is not exclusive to these attributes of gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, and so forth. Every Christian should operate in this manner, whether you are in full-time ministry or not. But let's go to verse number 2 again. It says, overseer is to be above reproach. Every Christian should be above reproach because you are the light of the world and people are watching you to see, are you truly a follower of Christ? And then in verse number 3, it says, these are the things that we should not do. Not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money, in other words, greedy. So these are the things that we have to stay away from. And then it highlights those things we should be, which is gentle, amen, faithful, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. Every Christian should be able to bring people to Christ. Amen. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read verses 24 through 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26 say, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. All right, family. Now, again, it is talking about those in ministry, but every Christian should be able to operate according to this passage. Again, verse 24, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone. That is the love and kindness and patience of the Lord Jesus Christ working through you. Verse 25, opponents must be gently instructed. You know, when the sinner comes to you with all kinds of false information about the Word of God, that's not the time to call them a fool, call them that they're stupid or just ignorant. No, that's the time to share with them about the love of Jesus and correct them with gentleness and kindness, giving them the truth, but with love and compassion. Then in verse 26, it says that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil. That's our job, Christians. All of us should want the sinner to come to Christ. They need Jesus, and Jesus died for them. So it is our opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with love and compassion, gently persuading them that there is a better way in Jesus. Amen. All right, let's continue with the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. Again, Titus 3, 1 through 6 says, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. Verse 3, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He gave us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Last verse, verse number 6 says, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Wow, what a wonderful passage. And again, to remind us so that we can be those gentle spirits full of love and compassion to share not just what God did for us, but what he did for all mankind. Let's go back to verse number 1. I want to read the last part of verse 1 that says, to be ready to do whatever is good. Be ready to do whatever is good. Don't look for opportunities to do evil, to be hateful, to be wicked. Be ready to do what is good. Verse number 2, it says, be peaceable and considerate and always be gentle toward everyone. Wow, what a wonderful passage, especially for this time of the year, to share about our Savior and Lord. Verse number 3, it says, we too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. When we think about our past, we're not going to go back to the past, but when we think about what Jesus did for us, it should move us to compassion to do for others. Drop down to verse number 5. It says, he, Jesus, saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Just keep that in mind when we go through this time of the year and share about our Savior and Lord. Know that it was mercy that brought us out to victory. Oh my goodness, I'm sorry, I'm out of time. All right, please come back next week to continue our study on the fruit of the born again spirit. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.